Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, here's a big question. What is the right age to buy your child a mobile phone? And we know it probably differs from family to family. But what doesn't differ is parents' concerns over how to introduce the technology in the safest and the healthiest way. Well, here with some guidance on the issue is Elaine Burke, who's a journalist and host of the For Tech's Sake podcast. Hello, Elaine.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. That is a hard question to tackle. What is the right age? And everybody will have a different view on that. We know that some children have phones when they're tots. Most people don't agree with that, but it does happen. And then for a lot of people, they decide, don't they, oh, if the child is going into secondary school, that's probably the time to get the phone. But yeah, it does depend.
I think the secondary school transition is a common one simply because it is a transitional phase in a child's development. They are going to start maturing at that point, mm-hmm. and their life is going to start taking a different route from that early stage primary school age. So I do see why that's kind of been seen as like the common point of introducing phone access for kids, but it is going to be different for every child.
And you've got to be careful if you're doing that to understand that the age of consent for lots of the social media apps is higher than that age. It's normally around 16, isn't it?
So the digital age of consent in Ireland, which is basically the age at which someone can legally themselves consent to access the digital tools and the processing of their data, that's 16. But you have a lot of these platforms will market themselves as having availability for ages 13 and up, and that's because they can say that if a parent or guardian approves the data processing of a user of that age, well then you don't have to have the digital age of consent from the child then.
Mm-hmm. But a 12 or 13 year old can just tick those boxes themselves.
That's the other thing. I have a whole article about age verification coming out in this weekend's Business Post, and those technologies aren't really the silver bullet that people probably would want them to be right now, and it is currently quite easy to get around them.
So if you are a parent or if you're a guardian, what do you need to think about before you give a phone to your child?
I think the first thing is, because there's a lot of like conversation that goes around, what is the right age for the child, what is the right development stage for the child, and not a lot is asked about, are the parents ready? I think the parents need to ask themselves, are they ready for this? Because what it's inevitably going to lead to is certain conversations that you might not be prepared to have with a child of a certain age. Because if they encounter content that is disturbing in some way, that is overtly sexual, or that's just completely inappropriate for their age group, you want them to, in the ideal scenario, to come to you with questions about that. So if you're not prepared to have those conversations, well, then that's going to be a huge problem, because if they can't come to you for answers, who are they going to go mm-hmm. to?
Can you take steps, though, to prevent them being able to see that type of stuff?
You can. But what I would say is, this isn't like when you can quite confidently let your kid watch RT Junior, CBeebies, you can bring them to IFCO certified films or rent IFCO certified material for them to view, or you can give them access to games that are PEGI rated. The content moderation and filtering of online content is not as heavily certified as those pieces of content.
So
it's not as heavily regulated.
You're handing the phone to your child and you're going, here you go, here's the world, best of luck, off you go.
And you're probably being duped by a lot of services saying, this is safe for kids. This is a version that we've made that's safe for kids. But as you know yourself from navigating a lot of online services, their content filtering and content moderation fails on a regular basis. So unless you have utter confidence in them being able to label all content, and you're talking about billions of pieces of content per day, as being suitable or unsuitable for kids, well, like, really have a think about that, because I think if you're being rational about it, you'd realise that you don't have that confidence in them.
So with the best will in the world, we can't control what they're seeing on the phone.
I do think if they're at a very, very young age, the only realistic way to do this safely and appropriately is that they should be only doing online browsing in a room that you're in and in a supervised capacity. And I know plenty of people that do that, that like their kids can watch YouTube, and it's usually YouTube Kids, but they're in the room with them.
Mm-hmm.
And because you can't, you really cannot rely on these content moderation systems. A lot of it is based on basically AI moderation and user labeling. So I could be a malicious user that makes some really ugly content that includes Peppa Pig and I label it for kids just because I want to play a prank on the world. And this happens.
Yeah.
And it leaks through those moderation filters. And then the other aspect of it is there's stuff that's considered safe that at a certain volume becomes kind of unsafe. When you think about content that's about looking a certain way as a young woman, or having a certain diet, or being kind of beholden to fitness regimes that make you have a very sculpted body and things like that. To have that volume of that content, which would all be deemed safe by filters,
mm-hmm.
can have a psychological impact.
Fed to you on a loop.
Exactly.
It becomes unsafe. I see what you're saying. In terms of handsets then, Elaine, are there particular ones that we should be looking at in terms of control? I know there's something called the balance phone, which some people are interested in for younger kids. I mean, do you think that that's the way to go?
There's a lot of devices and a lot of services out there that are, you know, seeing the money-making opportunity that is there in anxious parents, to be totally frank about it. But no matter what device or what apps you go down the route of getting, the best thing that you can do is be in dialogue with your kids about this. So before you even think about what device you're going to get, have a conversation with your kids about what this is going to look like, what boundaries you want to be set. And there might be a bit of push and pull mm-hmm. in that. And I'm imagining they're a bit of an older kid to have this conversation with, because I personally wouldn't really be comfortable giving a younger child their very own device to use as and when they feel is right. But you can then think about, okay, what's a device that suits these boundaries that we've had a conversation about? And maybe it'll be what's called a dumb phone, you know, those more classic Nokias that we all used to bang around with. You might get a different kind of smartphone, but really what you should be looking for is something cheap and durable, because more than likely they're going to break or lose it, or both.
So how do we keep an eye on them then? I mean, can we mirror what they're seeing? Can we check out everything that they're seeing on our devices? Can we link to them in that way?
It's very like in cybersecurity. There's lots of apps and services that will promise you 100% protection, and they're lying. There's no such thing as 100% oversight and protection of your kids online, because even if you find the right device, they're going to encounter stuff through their friend's device or through a different device. A lot of the tools out there are focused on phones, but kids today often have tablets. They sometimes even have laptops, and there's a lot less monitoring capabilities when it comes to those devices, and a lot less linkages to family and parent accounts. So again, like, you really do have to be informed. And if you're not in dialogue with your kids on this, you will be on the back foot, because they probably know more than you about what their behaviour is.
But when
going
it comes to
like.
Downloading apps, in particular paying for stuff online, we can have control over that.
Yeah, and there's tools that are available on every Apple and Android device, which is typically what people are using. It's one or other of those operating systems if they've got a mobile device. And it's Apple Parental Controls and Google Family Link. And they will give you the basic things that a lot of these apps are selling you in terms of being able to see what apps your kids are downloading. So if they download something new that you want to know about, you can have an opportunity to ask them a question. Like, I got a notification on my phone that you downloaded this app. What is it about? Because mm-hmm. You might not know all of the apps that are out there. And then you can also go to a site called webwise.ie and see if they've written about it, and get information from them about it as well, and learn about these things. You can block in-app purchases basically at a parental level, but you can also do that on an app level. You can set it so that the content is filtered. Again, you're relying on the labeling of the platforms here, but you can set it so that even in Google Play Store or at the App Store, you can decide what they can look up in terms of the apps that they're looking
right.
for. So kind of
okay.
put out certain
so you can
categories.
Have a certain amount of control, but it is a bit of a wild west, and we have to have the conversations and the communication channels open. I think that's the best advice. Elaine, thanks so much. Elaine Burke, we're going to take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.